The reading this morning is Psalm 119, verses 17 to 24. Be good to your servant while I live, that I may obey your word. Open my eyes that I might see wonderful things in your law. I am a stranger on earth. Do not hide your commands from me. My soul is consumed with longing, for your laws at all times. You rebuke the arrogant who are accursed, those who stray from your commands. Remove from me scorn and contempt, for I keep your statutes. Though rulers sit together and slander me, your servant will mediate on your decrees. Your statutes are my delight. They are my counsellors.
Good morning. Good morning to all of you. Thank you. It's nice to hear your voices this morning. That slide that Nick showed us this morning, yes, we have seen that. We saw it yesterday, just before the A14 met the A1M. Yeah, you all have seen that, haven't you? But there's a nice little road that runs alongside the A1M, and you just go on to the next junction. It was brilliant, so we weren't late at all, which is fantastic. When I saw the Bible as a map to guide us from Psalm 119, 17, I thought, oh, my word, maps. I really, really love maps. I'm glad Nick didn't leave that map there, because you'd just be on your own for the next 10 minutes or so. I love maps. I love looking at maps. I'm really geeky with maps. And when I was young, I used to do Interrail. It's now called Eurorail. Does anybody know about Eurorail or Interrail? Did anybody do Interrail? You paid 120 quid and you got to France and you could travel the whole of Europe free. It was absolutely brilliant. It was great fun. And when I ran out of money, I used to go to Germany, and I'd go from Munich in the south on the night train to Hamburg in the north and sleep on the train and see the Hamburg during the day and then get on the train at night and go back again. I know Hamburg and Munich exceedingly well. But I was so geeky. Before that, I was working on a horticultural nursery. And I had that book there, is a timetable for the whole of Europe. And I had the timetable for, it was probably, oh, I'm looking at the youth out there, oh my word, 1980-something. It was a long time ago. And I was working there, and I had these maps, and I just used to spend about half an hour. I used to get there half an hour early and look at these maps. That's a map of the major routes in Europe. And this is more of the map of what Europe actually looks like. And I used to plan my routes around Europe really geekily. But it was great fun. I loved it. I didn't visit half the places that I went, that I was planning to go to, but I had really good fun doing so. So I just love maps, and I love the Bible as a map as well. I have been studying the Bible for a very, very long time. I went to All Nations Christian College in 1991, and that's when I started really seriously studying the Bible. And I'm still stunned by what I suddenly discover while I'm studying the Bible. And I've done it again this time that I'm studying for this sermon as well. It's fantastic. Know your Bible, get it. It doesn't matter whether it's on a paper book, or it's on your phone, or on a tablet like Moses had. You know, it doesn't really matter. Just get it and read it. It's something else, believe me. So what does this passage say? I always actually very tempted to say, what can I say about this passage? But actually, first of all, we've got to see what this passage says. How does it link to the God's word as a map, as a guide to us? Well, there are two verses in that passage which are very important. I am a stranger on earth. Do not hide your commands from me. To be honest, when I'm a stranger in a place, Wilma will know this, when we go to a city, I like to get lost. And I attempt to get lost, because that's where you see the most interesting parts. But when you're a stranger, you need a map. You need a guide. Oh, sorry, hit the wrong way. I knew I was going to do this one time. So a stranger on earth, don't hide your commands from me. And your statutes are my delight. They are my counselors. It's actually quite interesting. I looked this up on BibleHub.com. Good website, BibleHub.com. And the word for counselor is actually man. And I just thought, that is really street, isn't it? That really is street. Kind of, your statutes are my delight, they are my man. So I thought, that the street Bible has got, I couldn't find the street Bible, but it's got to actually come up with that translation, hasn't it? So now a bit of a structure to this passage. What I'm trying to do is show you how I got to what I'm going to say. Okay, and the structure of this passage is what I discovered. I have never studied this passage before in my life. So I read it over and over again. And I worked out there are two, it's 8 verses long, and there are 2 lots of 4 verses. So here we go. I'm going to have to read this from here. Be good to your servant while I live, that I may obey your word. That's the verse. So there's a request for blessing and the reason in order he must obey. Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law. So he wants vision in order to wonder at God's word. And there's that verse 19. I'm a stranger on earth. The reason is I need direction. I'm a stranger. And then there's a request. Don't hide your commands from me. And then at the end of this, it's interesting. My soul is consumed with longing for your laws at all times. It's kind of overwhelming, being consumed. Soul is the whole being of a person. It's not just this little bit, you know. It's like, I don't know, I imagine it sometimes like a Harry Potter snitch in Quidditch that flies around when you die, you know. But that's not the soul. The soul is everything you are. So my whole being is utterly consumed for your law. This declaration of desperate love for the law of the Lord. And that doesn't mean just rules, but God's whole value system. And that's the first part of it. The second part, again, relates to it. You rebuke the arrogant who are accursed and those who stray from your commands. It's a statement that God is going to do something with the arrogant. Remove from me their scorn. So he wants vindication because I am righteous, because I keep your statutes. Though rulers sit together and slander me, judge me, your servant will meditate on your decrees. This statement that he's going to, it doesn't matter what's going on over here, I'm going to continue to meditate on your law, on your values. Why? Because your statutes are my delight. They are my man. It's a declaration of love for the law because they are his guides. So breaking this down, we have this wonderful petitions for blessing, for vision, for guidance, because he loves the law so much. I need these things because I love your law and I want to know your law and I want to be inhabited by your value system, Lord. That's why he needs God to do something for him or her. It could have been her. We don't know whether the psalmist was a woman or a man. It could have been. And it doesn't matter the context. It's the destiny of the wicked. They're going to be struck down by God. God's going to vindicate this psalmist from the wicked. And he has contempt. He's just going to meditate on God's word. Whatever they do, I don't care. They're not relevant to me. I'm going to meditate on your word. He declares that the law is his guide. The Lord guides him. So do you start getting the feeling, not just the details of what he's saying, but the feeling of what the psalmist is going through as a person. He needs God to do something for him. He's asking for God to give him blessing. And we saw yesterday from Genesis 12 that the blessing on Israel was in order to bless the nations. So blessing, he wants blessing. You can look at Psalm 67 as well, which plays with this idea of blessing on Israel, so God will bless the nations. And you ask for vision, he asks for guidance, because I need to know your law. Now, just a quick aside here, really, is the Word of God. We can study intellectually as much as we like the Word of God, but unless the Holy Spirit actually, ministers to us and inspires us to obey the Word, then all we've become is a clever person. And they're not likable, to be honest. I know quite a few of them. And just because you could recite the Bible off, or Psalm 119 off, that would be a good start, wouldn't it? It doesn't matter. We've got to be living out. Why does he want blessing? Because he wants to obey. Why does he love the law of the Lord? Because it guides him. And there's this all-consuming love for God's word. And this is something I always want to instill to anybody who I talk with, is this passion for God's word, the passion for the Bible, to understand the Bible. It's such an incredible book. So 1991, who can do the maths? 18... Thank you, 27 years. We have a mathematician here. I can do it with a calculator. But 27 years, and I'm still discovering new things. Wow. That's not me. That's what I'm reading. An amazing book we have. Now, I'm going to make three comments, make three statements and three challenges. Okay? That's where we're going next. I like three. I like Trinitarian theology, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So three comments. The Bible is a book for life. It's not a rule book for life. There are laws in it. There are instructions in it. But actually the Bible itself is a book for the whole of our lives. It's a book that produces life in us, but it's a book that is part of our lives. Now, we're talking about direction here and guidance. But actually, the Bible is a story of God's purposes to save the nations, the whole of creation. And we're guided to know our place in it. Does anybody know what that is? That is space. The final frontier. Yeah. That's the Horsehead Nebula. That is an that's Hubble has taken that. That is unbelievable, incredible photo. But God is redeeming, yes, the nations, but the whole of the creation, the cosmos, will be redeemed because of Christ, and we have our place in that. Now, another bit of a confession of my geekiness is we have a set of Ordnance Survey maps. Wow. It's all around. We're sort of where we live at the moment. We're on top right of one, bottom left of another. It's like, so you've got to have four maps. It's true. I persuaded Wilma, it is actually true. But it orientates you to where you are. It doesn't only guide you to where to go, it tells you where you are. And the fun of finding out where you are actually in this universe. Are there any astrophysicists here? No. But there's a law of chaos. As far as we know how fast we're going in the universe, we don't know where we are. And as far as we know where we are in the universe, we don't know how fast we're going. It's called Heisenberg's theory. But you can do that with a map. You can find where you are and how fast you're going. It's 0 kilometers an hour, and you know where you are on the map. But it orientates you. So the Bible actually orientates us, not only me, but us, to know where we are in the world. You could say, yeah, I'm in Bourne. But actually, where you are in God's plan for all of his purposes. It shows you, you are here in his plan. And that is an amazing thing, because God is not only interested in the cosmos, he's interested in our place in the cosmos as well. Secondly, and this I don't know if Sam and Dominic are here, but last week I listened to you on Sunday afternoon. Wouldn't tell you that beforehand, but I was. And the link that you are making between the Word and Jesus Christ is very important. Because Jesus Christ actually is the Word of God. He is the Word, he is the last Word of God. John 1:1, in the beginning there was the Word. So that's the Kairo, Christ in Greek. So in a sense, the real sense, Jesus Christ is the Word of God. And to love God's Word and to be guided by God's Word is to love Jesus Christ. And to love him more and more and more. And frankly, somebody was praying, we don't know half of it. We don't know a millimetre of it, of who he gloriously is. That was that song, You're Beautiful. But the verses really recount what we talk about creation and salvation and Christ's place in it. And he's coming home eventually. And we will be with him because he will be with us and among us. So love of God's word is not loving rules. I confess, if somebody says, go one way, I will have the tendency to go in the complete and opposite direction. So you now know how to get me to go in the direction you want, don't you? So I'm a bit of a rebel with this. I reckon we should have sat-navs that when you don't actually go where the sat-navs tell you, it should get increasingly irritated. It's like, in 300 metres, take the left turn. Okay, in 50 metres, take the next left turn. Okay, so what is it you don't understand about left? It just should have that voice, shouldn't it? So it is not loving rules. It is loving and being consumed for and delighting in the values of God's word. And I put this up there because it's the Holy Spirit who ministers to us God's word and actually helps us to obey God's word. That's what the Holy Spirit does, really. And the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, all of those values. Paul says there is no law against these. I think probably these days there might be. Because if you're going to love, you may actually not be obeying the government at times. It is loving God's law, giving to Caesar, yes, obeying the law, but giving to God what is God's and loving the values that he has. And there you go. It's summed up right there, the values. And that word love, and actually the fruit in Galatians, the fruit of the Spirit, singular, is love. Joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, etc. So the fruit of the Spirit is that word there, love. It's not affection, it's not fancying, it's not family love, it's that love of God that stretched out his arms to be nailed to a cross that would save us. It's loving those values. Loving God's word is loving Christ. And being consumed by and delighting in the word of God means not only knowing the Bible, but seeing the world in the light of the Bible. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't do biblical, memory. Memorizing the Bible is one of the most important things you can ever, ever do. Seriously, it is. A theologian friend of mine in Latin America, in Argentina they have Teacher's Day and they have Everything Else Day. Everybody's got a day. You've got Rose Sweeper Day, you've got everybody. Seriously, it is like that. And on Teacher's Day, on Sunday School, we had Sunday School Day. And we were sharing together what our Sunday School teachers had taught us. And Renee Padilla said, she taught me to memorize the Bible. And he's now 85 and he still recognizes that memorizing the Bible is good. I'm not saying we shouldn't do. In fact, it's a stage which we on the way to actually seeing the Bible through God's eyes. C.S. Lewis said, I believe in Christianity as I believe that the sun has risen, not only because I see it, but because by it I see everything else. I believe in Christianity as I believe that the sun has risen, not only because I see it, but because by it I see everything else. Now, we should know this at this time of year, when you blearily open your eyes at 4 o'clock and kind of go, oh, sun's risen. You can't see the sun, but you can see everything else by it. So believing, you can almost pray-see that and say, I don't believe the Bible just because I can see it's true. I believe the Bible because I see everything else through it. And that is the real important thing to get to. So, my three pointers. The Bible guides us to know our place in God's purposes. This is where we are on West Stream. It guides us to love Christ more because of his life, death, resurrection, ascension, and imminent return. And it guides us to see the world through God's eyes. This is the Helix Nebula, by the way, and that is nicknamed the Eye of God. So seeing the world through God's eyes, not only through human eyes. And my three challenges really are, how can I get to know the big story of God's purposes, save the nations and creation, better? Because if I can do that, I'm really orientating myself to where I am in God's plan. And you have a place in God's plan. When people say God has a plan for your life, it often people mean he knows where you're going to live, what job you're going to get, and who you're going to marry. No, God's plan for you is you are conformed to the image of Jesus Christ and join in on his purposes to save the nations. What can I do in continue my journey of getting to know God's word in the Bible better and therefore God's word in Jesus Christ better? So I could suggest perhaps that you read a chapter of the Gospel of Mark every day for the next 16 days, or the Gospel of Luke every day for the next 24 days, or whatever. I'm stopping there because I'm on a high, because if I go on, I might get it wrong. I'm on a roll, got 16 and 24 right. I could suggest reading the Gospels. Seriously, Jesus is one impressive person when you read the Gospels. And once you start reading them in great blocks, it doesn't take long to read a chapter of Mark. It's like a John Woo movie. It's immediately this and immediately that. And he went off there and he went off there. The Fast and the Furious of the Bible. Seriously, you learn a lot about who Christ is. And finally, how can I... How can I see God's world through God's eyes? How can I learn to see the world through God's eyes? Again, suggesting that when something riles you that you see either in the street or on the TV, it's not answering what would Jesus do, but actually saying, what would Jesus want me to do in this situation? What would he want me? How would he want me to react to this news story? How would he want me to react to this car driver who's just cut me up? My wife is smiling because she knows how failing I am at this. But these sort of things that we can do to think, well, what does God say in his word that will help me to react in a way that will make me a more effective person in his purposes for the world? Let's spend a couple of minutes just thinking and praying about these challenges to us. And then I'll close in prayer. Father God, we do thank you for the fact that you do love us so much, that you save us, whatever we're like, through your love and your reckless grace. And we thank you that you love us so much that you want to change us and challenge us to become more effective in your purposes in this world. We thank you, Lord, that we're not alone in this. We thank you that we have the accompaniment of the Holy Spirit, that we know that the Holy Spirit is alongside us, helping us, empowering us, encouraging us. And we know, Lord, that we have our brothers and sisters here as well to continue to encourage us and to be accountable to us and us to them. We pray, Father, that you will help us to take this challenge of your word being like a map to us, orientating us, guiding us into your future for us, both individually and as a fellowship. We ask all these things in the power of the Holy Spirit, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to the glory of God the Father. Amen.